Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here with you for season 8 of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. So a few months ago, I posted on Threads wondering if anyone would be interested in coming on the podcast as a guest. I could not believe the response I got. Hundreds of people reached out saying they wanted to tell their story on the podcast. Well, I can't interview hundreds of people for season 8, but what I can do is ask people to fill out a form and then fill out a Calendly and then schedule those conversations. And so without further ado, here is an episode recorded with one of my new friends on Threads. I hope you enjoy.
New Orleans native Brandon M. Weber is a distinguished theater and film curator who has experienced every facet of the industry, from performing off-Broadway and on national tours to directing regional theater and short films. Weber's extensive background includes casting for Broadway with Chelsea & Co. and coordinating major events such as the VMAs and the Global Citizen Music Festival. Over the past 5 years, he has produced a variety of innovative projects in New York. Weber is dedicated to breaking barriers for the African diaspora by presenting narratives that defy the status quo and incorporating unique storytelling methods that challenge audiences. Brandon, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, oh my gosh, this is so great. So you have such an impressive resume, and this isn't even, I'm sure, all of it.
No, it's not all of it, but it's a good chunk.
Yeah. So how did, I already have a million questions, but I'm going to slow my roll a little bit. Where are you zooming in from?
So I'm zooming in from New York. Woot woot.
Woot woot, me too.
Yeah. So I'm zooming in from New York. I kind of go back and forth from Binghamton because I work for Binghamton University and then the city. So I'll be in the city tonight, actually.
Nice. Doing anything fun in the city?
Yeah, so I'm actually now directing a world premiere called Go Down Moses. And it's going to be really, really exciting. We have some Broadway veterans that are leading the project. And it's going to be at Art NY on 53rd Street from May.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to check that out. I'm Googling it, and the first thing that says is JewishPlaysProject.org. Is that the same thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. I'm gonna go through this website later, but that's really exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. We just had our Playbill article actually go up the other day. So if y'all want to check on Playbill, you can.
Yeah, that's so cool. that's amazing. So we all have multiple coming out stories and coming into ourselves stories. And I would love to invite you to share one of those stories with us today.
Yeah. My coming out wasn't really a coming out, but it was more of a poof. Woo. you came out of nowhere. So for me, growing up in New Orleans, and being raised as a Baptist, right? As a Black Latinx man, you're kind of always told not to necessarily be feminine in any way. And also being super educated, people already assume things about you. So people assumed that I was gay or something. They would say, you know, fruity, if you will, since growing up. But I never really identified with that. I wasn't really attracted to the same sex. But I wasn't against the LGBT community. So I didn't have that insight that most people have, is like to really hate the community at a large. I didn't. I actually thought it was like, why are people in church saying that we should not like certain people when That's going against the Bible itself, right? So, and I grew up at in a Christian Catholic school. So, and I say Christian Catholic because it's a long story, but we had to memorize the Bible. Like we had to memorize the Bible by rote. So for me having to do that very young, I was like, what is happening? But I think by the time I got to college, that's when I was like, men and women are attracted to the same sex regardless, because that's how you can tell if somebody is attractive or not, right? At least to you. So for me, I was just like, yeah, I find guys attractive. And my ex at the time, she was, saying, if you feel a certain way about somebody, I'm going to tell you how I feel, because she was bi and or bi curious, if you will. And we kind of, I guess, came out to each other that way, but it was in a safe relationship. And then I didn't have my first experience until after that relationship, with the same sex. So that's kind of my story.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. So I still have the visual of like poof in my head. So once you kind of had this realization, this poof moment, like in looking back, like at your younger self, are there moments of like, oh yeah, I'm like totally queer, or I was thinking it, or was it really just like absolutely nothing until that moment, or something
Yeah, I
else?
don't. I think that I knew that I wanted to be friends with guys, but I really think it was just like I wanted to be friends with guys. And like I said, I was always technically attracted to guys and girls, but I wasn't. It wasn't like a thing. You know what I mean? So you know how like some people say like, "Oh, I knew since I was five." I did not know. I really did not know. I was kind of oblivious. I just thought that I was more open than most of my peers and surroundings. That's just the only thing I thought. And I thought that like people are like a little evil. But I think it really dawned on me in that relationship that like, it is okay and you can be fluid. And for me, I identify as pansexual. So really, I'm not going to be really attracted to you. Like want to be with you unless like I love your personality, you know what I mean? Because you could be the most physically attractive person ever, and then a mean person, and I'm like, ugh, get away, stranger danger, stranger
Yes.
danger.
Stranger danger. It's so true. Well, yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I'm so curious. Do you still have the Bible memorized?
Not the way I used to.
Yeah.
Not the way I used to. Mostly because for me, I was like, a lot of these things need to be put in action rather than just memorized. And then also, it's a lot of tales that you can interpret however you want. And that's what people have been doing. I mean, they're literally trying to rewrite the Bible with their rhetoric, and it's just not okay. So I kind of tried to forget a lot of that, especially because like I did go through Hurricane Katrina, and that kind of made me question a lot about religion, specifically because I was like, why is this happening to like my city, my family? And it was just like a lot of things that piled up even right before Katrina, and I was just like, I don't know, I don't know. But I identify as more spiritual now.
Yeah, I feel that. Do you get home to New Orleans ever?
Yeah, I haven't been in like 4 years. But I try to go back when I can. It's just a lot of my work is here, in New York. And I don't really travel for work when I go down to New Orleans. It's mostly just to see family and stuff like that, but it's not Yeah, I don't get to do it as much, but I miss New Orleans. It's like, I miss New Orleans.
Yeah. I've been once, but I
Oh.
was experiencing some like intense back pain. So
Oh.
I wasn't enjoying anything because I was miserable. So I definitely need to go back and like experience
Yes.
without pain.
Yeah, especially now. Like now it's, I mean, it's always been like for me, I would say New Orleans is its own world. Okay. Like we're in the South, but like, girl, are we? We're really not. But like, we're in our own world. And then even now, like, fast forward to now, the LGBT community there is like crazy. It's like crazy good. But like we were always weird type of people down there. So that's why I'm like, why did I even learn what I learned with all the people surrounding us? And our city just has a different energy. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting. It's very fascinating. I'm making an album about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you, were you always like into theater, or was that something that came later? I'm thinking like high school or college, or where, like what's that connection and what's that origin story?
I was always a performer, and in entertainment very, very young because my mom was in entertainment. She did a lot of like hair and makeup and some background vocals and stuff like that. But kind of everybody knew like once she had a child, I was clearly going to be artistic, and I kind of just lean into that like a lot. So I was always performing, but I didn't really get into theater, I want to say until middle school. Like officially like theater for middle school. I was mostly doing a lot of film acting and singing and dancing. Yeah. But I didn't
Nice.
understand the, oh, you can have it all together at one thing. Oh. So that brought me
Gorgeous
to
way.
musical theater.
Yes, I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio, and took some improv classes, and then when I moved to New York City, was going to continue with improv, and then my cousin was like, "My friend's in this musical improv show. Do you want to go look check it out?" And I was like, "What the heck's musical improv?" So I went, and my mind was completely blown because they just made up a musical on the spot. And it was so, I mean, looking like thinking like logically, it probably wasn't that good because it was like a class show. But like in the moment, it was incredible because they were just making it all the songs up right there. And I was
Yeah,
like, well,
did you go out the pit?
the
Was that
magnet.
the pit? Oh, it's the magnet. Okay. Because one of my close friends was doing it the same thing at the pit though. When it was, yeah.
Yeah. I also did some at the Pit, so I might know your friend. But yeah, so then once I saw musical improv, I was like, I need to be doing that. And then I did it for like probably close to a decade because I loved it. So yeah, well, maybe less than a decade. I don't know how to do math. But who's your friend? We can talk about it offline. Unless you want to say their name.
Eric Lockley, what's up?
Oh, I actually don't know that name.
So I have Eric and oh, okay. Fabulous, fabulous actor. Yeah, even how we met was kind of weird. I s randomly ran into their acting reel on Facebook back in the day.
Wow.
And yeah, I messaged them because I was doing a project of my own. And I was like, hey, I know you don't know me. This is so strange, but like, I saw your acting reel. And then, yeah, we've been cool friends. And then he invited me to this musical improv. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a thing.
Isn't it
Didn't
so
even know it was a
exciting?
thing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
really fun, especially when it's done well. It's
Yeah.
just so cool.
And then also like he invited me to like try it out and I was like, oh, because at the time I wasn't, I was like, I don't, I need a script. Okay, I need a script, honey. But then when I went down to Atlanta, I actually got into improv a lot because of Dad's Garage. And got certified and everything, and I was so, I'm curious now about the musical improv in my later years. So maybe we gotta talk
Yeah, well, I
offline.
mean, the Magnet still has classes. I don't know if the Pit does, but the Magnet definitely does. And some of my friends are still on teams. Now it's been decade
Yes.
later. So there's definitely a lot. We can definitely chat offline about it. It's because it's magical. So of all of the, like, I don't even want to say triple threat because it seems like you're more threats than triple. But of all of your talents and all of the ways that you interact with theater, like, do you have a favorite that you're like, if I could only do one forever, what would it be?
Right now, I want to really just focus on like producing a lot of work, which I still am, which is great. It's a blessing that I got into that because I want to give opportunities to people, you know what I mean? And then also that makes it a way for it's a cheat code because then I can make stuff for myself too. But yeah, I like giving opportunities to people and making safe environments. And whew, you think it sounds so easy? Not necessarily producing, but just trying to make safe environments. You think it's so easy because you're gonna like get this one person that can change the room, and it's not because of so much toxicness that goes on in people's brains or what they've experienced and how they bring that into the room. It's quite sad, but I'm gonna keep striving. Luckily, I have a good network that also believes in the way that I like operating rooms, and so I get to collaborate with them and make some magic.
Yeah, that's amazing. Have you heard of P3 Productions?
That sounds very familiar.
My friend and former podcast guest, Sammy Lopez, is one of the co-founders, and
Oh,
he,
yes.
yeah,
Yes.
yeah. So he, I bring it up because does a lot of work around making, like, safer, inclusive environments. And just I'm super impressed by what he is doing to change that in the theater world. And he
Yeah.
his company produced How to Dance in Ohio or something like that. I forget exactly what it's called.
You're right.
Is that what it is? Okay, yeah. And the majority of the cast and anyone who had autism in the show had autism in real life, and he was really thoughtful, from day one in making sure everyone felt safe and seen and comfortable on set and also in the audience. Like, there were sensory rooms, and it just so all of which is to say, like, it's so important to have people who are top of mind thinking about safety and belonging, to make theater accessible. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, like I said, it's all about like who you surround yourself with. And like luckily I work heavily with Unlimited Stages, just the company that's helping to produce Go Down Moses. And that's pretty much our biggest thing. It's like inclusion and seeing all different walks of life and being able to bring the material that relates to them. So like one of the first projects we did was actually a variety show for Autism Month. And so that was like, and so we had some autistic performers that were just coming in doing what they wanted to do, and I would kind of guide them through it. And yeah, it's been a blessing. They actually brought more opportunities, not just to them, but to myself randomly. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
inclusion is magical like that. It's like, oh, when we make space for everybody, we're actually making space for everybody, and it benefits all of us, which is great. So, there's this burning question I think that everyone has about production, which is, what does a producer actually do?
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well,
Your
there's
face is
different.
very funny, just that reaction.
There's a lot. Well, there's different type of producers, so you have to recognize that. There's different type of producers. If I mean, think about Tony Awards alone, right? They'll say one show, and the main producer or executive producer usually wins the award or gets the award. But there's usually like 10, 15 other people that are producers on the show, right? But they're not considered the executive producer. So executive producers, from what I've experienced, okay, they're okay. They're more the money launchers, okay? They usually campaign to get all the money, but they also put a lot of money, their own money, into it. Okay, so they're the big enchiladas. But then you have line producers, you have creative producers, and then just small producers that they might give a little bit of one-two money to that, but not the whole thing. For theater specifically, producers are literally the connectors, right? So they are constantly in touch with like Actors Equity and with the director and with stage management, trying to make sure that the room who they're hiring, everything is set up. They also talk to casting a lot, to make sure that they're getting the names that they need in order to, or the talent that they need. It's more than names, but the talent that they need in order for the show to be successful. And then when you go over the film, it's kind of the same thing. It's just a different rollout. You have more line producers than anything. And then technically, in my head, there's this thing called showrunners. Showrunners are practically producers, but they don't get that title like that, and it's very annoying, because they are really doing all of the producers' work, really, to make the show happen. So, yeah, you're kind of just the connector, sending a bunch of emails, making sure everything's okay logistically. And then it trickles down to director, stage management, casting, so on and so forth.
So it's kind of like a project manager.
Is yeah, overall, is a big project manager, practically. And in my experience, I'm always juggling multiple roles. So like even with this show, I'm directing and producing, but I also cast because of my casting experience. So, I was just kind of doing everything. Which that has benefits. That has a lot of benefits. But at the same time, it's a lot of work. So, yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do at Binghamton?
I'm the marketing and communications manager from Binghamton. But we have this thing called staffalty that we came up with, where I also teach some classes and I help sub some classes and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm technically staff, but I also do a lot of like educating for the students.
Wow. Okay, so how do you have time to do anything? It sounds like you're doing a million gajillion things.
I get this question quite often. I don't know. I just make time for what I want to make time for. But also, like I said, like the people that I have around me, they understand that I'm a very ambitious person, very ambitious. And because of that, they know that I can get the work done. It's just not going to be the way that most people get their work done. Some people just have to complete one task at a time. That's never going to be. I will complete tasks, multiple tasks at one time. I could be sending an email while in a meeting. And have a student in my office talking about something. So there's ways around it, but yeah, just gotta make time to make
Wow,
time.
it's very impressive. How, if at all, does your queerness interact with your work?
I would say quite often, just because of the projects that I personally like choose to work on, right? So like, for example, Queer Voices NYC Film Festival, right? I literally been there since the launch of the festival, and that kind of led to other opportunities, but I also help with production and marketing for a Talks With Myself series that is blew up on YouTube. And so like that's also very like queer oriented. Well, it is queer oriented. I don't even know why I said kind of. It is. And I'm also like associate producing the show called Rosalind and Juliet. That happens this summer. That's going to be upstate in Rhinebeck slash Hudson Valley area. So it kind of connects pretty well. I think the thing that troubles me though is because I'm always in queer communities, you would think that like my love life would be off the chain. But
But it sounds like it's
so
not.
that's the downfall.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's we need to step up the love game, but other than that, everything else is dandy.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna manifest it through this episode of like, let's bring some more romantic love, spiritual love, emotional love to our lives. So I have one last question. And it's super important. And it is bagels or donuts?
How dare you? That's so rude, but donuts.
Oh,
You
interesting.
gotta have the
Okay.
donut. You
All
have
right.
to have the donut.
Yeah, you also have to have the bagel. So, but I feel you. You can have your own
Yes.
opinion. You can have, you're allowed. You're allowed. It's allowed.
Have you
So,
ever had a donut bagel?
what? No. What's that? And where do I get it?
I think I had it in LA. I think it was LA or Seattle. It was one of those. And practically, you just take a donut and slice it in half, and then like everything that you would put on a bagel, you just boom. It's
Interesting.
really fascinating.
Huh.
There's also like a waffle bagel thing too that I had that was interesting. I
Huh.
know.
I'm like frozen. I glitched for a second because I was like, wait, what is that? I'm gonna have to do some research. Well, this has been so lovely, Brandon. Thank you so much for sharing your time. You have like a million jobs, and so really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me and for sharing. And thank you for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me out with you.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for coming.